So, you now have your notebook, and what we would ask you to do is bring this each week for the next 4 weeks, especially as we talk about conversations with God. It's a beautiful picture of, I think, what we're hoping to communicate is a return to a childlike faith and a sweet belief that God delights to hear His people pray and that He delights to answer. And I pray that you'll be emboldened over the next 4 weeks to pray like you've never prayed before. We're going to start this morning by talking about prayer, and I hope to demystify it. I hope to take the guilt out of it. I hope to inspire you with a vision that is new today, that God wants you to pray and delights to hear you pray. And this notebook is a gift to help you in your prayer life. We want guilt-free prayers. And we really want you to feel inspired by a vision that says, God is my God, He loves me, I believe that, and He wants to answer my prayers. So we've put together some articles that will help you in your prayer life, some guider for some things to pray for, this journal in the back, and then for the next, actually 100 days, this would be a great place to save your outlines. And we're going to give you an outline next week that'll click right in. And we're going to spend a couple weeks together about prayer. Let me begin in your outline then, because we're going to move quickly, just to talk with you this morning about why we're doing 100 days of prayer. Why 100 days of prayer? I'm going to suggest three things for you that this is what's behind what we're doing. Number one, we're hopeful that through 100 days of prayer, we will grow spiritually together as a congregation. That we'll grow deeper in our walk with Christ. And as we are disciples and followers of Jesus, we'll get deeper in our spiritual maturity together. That's what happens when we pray. And that's what we're after. We don't want to think of prayer simply as God being a dispenser of things, and we just go and say, next. And God just goes, cranks it out. No, we want a relationship with Him. We want to grow in spiritual maturity. Second, we're committed to 100 days of prayer because we want to see God work in our congregation and in our lives. This is not about just getting what we want from God, but we want to see God work and do what only God could do. So I think if you will commit yourself with us, that for our next 100 days, we're going to pay special attention to our prayer life. I think we're going to see God do some spectacular things in us, around us, and we want to see that. And then lastly, why 100 days of prayer? Because we want to glorify God with many voices of thanksgiving. Now, to illustrate what I mean by this, after you write that down, and we'll leave it up there for you, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. If you want to, you know, I'd love for you to look at this, and there's a Bible in front of you. It's on page 140. It's the second 140. It's in the New Testament, or in the Bibles in the pew, are numbered through the Old Testament, and then it starts again. Page 1 of the New Testament. So you want to find the second 140, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I like it when you have your Bible here. Got it? Did you find it? And it's not enough for me to read it to you. You need to get familiar with how to find that and get in the Bible and say, okay, I've got it. So you're bringing your Bibles to church, right? Yeah, of course. Okay, but next week you will, right? That's right. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here is a scene. It's a little bit of historical context, but Paul is asking a church to pray for him because he's got a huge task ahead of him, and so he asks the Corinthian church to pray for him because as the situation is unfolding, it's very dire. He's actually thinking that he could be killed at any moment. In any day, he may be put to death because of the work he's doing as an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, you know, if you had the threat of death, you might not make it through another day at work tomorrow. You'd say, would you pray for me because I got a tough day tomorrow. I may be killed at my job tomorrow. You'd say, I need your prayers. It's in that context that Paul says this, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. You know, we were threatened with death. We are always threatened with death, but we're trusting in God who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and he will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope. That's what prayer is. Prayer is setting your hope on God. And he will deliver us. Now here's the key, verse 11. You also joining with us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Okay? So Paul says, I'm under the threat of death. I need your prayers. I've got a big job to do, and I ask you to pray for me that the work I do will be helped by God. You will help me as I preach. Your prayers enabling what I do. That's a beautiful picture. That's the congregation praying for the work of God through Paul, that God would do more than if the congregation didn't pray. That's beautiful. We want to see God work. But the result is not just that God would work, but that the many who prayed would then do what? The whole congregation would give thanks to God. So prayer is about God answering, but not just answering for the person who receives it, but for the many who prayed to say, wow, can you believe what God just did? And everybody gives thanks to God's answer to the individual. Now, in order for that to happen, we have to record what answers we get and tell them to each other. So in the back of your notebook, in the journal, at the bottom of every yellow page, there's a little line at the bottom. It says, God answered my prayer on this date, and I want you, as you pray over the next 100 days, to write down what answers God gives to you about specific things you pray for. So I'm not really expecting God to answer any of my prayers. Shame on you. I'm going to help you say, no, God is going to answer your prayers. And then write them down, and near the end of this 100 days, or perhaps throughout, why don't you do it throughout, email us. Hey, you got to know what God did. And send us what happens with God's answer to your prayers of everything that you're willing to share with us. And we'll share them with the congregation in order that everybody can say, thank you, God, for answering prayer. And as one answer comes, you'll be emboldened and say, man, I can't believe God did that for them. Who are they that God would do that for them? I better start praying. And what happens is we all get committed and say, we got to pray more because God is a prayer answering God. Now let's be careful that we understand. God doesn't answer prayer because all of us kind of gang up on him. And you know, we all of us together can get his arm. Now I can't do it by myself, but we all can exert enough pressure that God will do what we ask him to do. No, that's not it. It's not that, you know, if we all really pray, then we'll persuade him that this is really important and he's got to do what we ask him because there's power in numbers. No, that's not it. God delights to answer the prayer of the single person praying for some secret thing in your closet all by yourself. God will answer that. But it's that we share together that we can all praise God together and God will be glorified. Here is a beautiful verse from the Old Testament. Psalm 50:15 says this, call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. That's sweet. Call upon me on the day of your trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. Why does God answer prayer? That we would praise him. That we would give him thanks. We're in trouble. God help me. He helps us. Yeah. Yay, God. Okay. I will answer you and you will honor me. Prayer is really about bringing our hearts to be in line with Him so that we worship Him in everything. Now, we won't have time to get to all things if I keep blathering on. So here's what you can expect over the next 100 days. Number one, what you can expect to happen over the next 100 days is a change in your heart. A change in your heart. What you're going to find over 100 days if you commit yourself with us to pray more intentionally over 100 days is that you'll find your hearts changed. Because prayer is not so much our getting from God what we want as getting ourselves in the place where God can give us what He knows we need. It's about our lives being changed as we pray. You're going to experience that if you'll commit yourself to praying in a more concerted way over the next 100 days. Number two, you can expect to see specific answers to prayer. I've already suggested this, but the emphasis of these 100 days is going to be to pray specifically. We're going to look at this carefully next week in an Old Testament example where specific prayer brought specific answer, with the hope that it will encourage us to say, all right, then I'm going to start praying about this. Not, our prayers don't demand from God, but we're going to ask for something specifically. And we're going to see our faith grow and God's going to answer. Number three, you can expect, if you dare, miracles. That is, things that come into our life that can only be described as a work of God. His supernatural answer. I have no idea how that could happen. You know how the glorious thing, how glorious it is for God to answer prayer? He is in heaven, and you may pray for something on Thursday that required someone in Chicago to work and to do something on Tuesday and put it in the mail to you so that you pray Thursday and it arrives Friday. You ever had that happen? I had that happen a number of times when I was in college and needing money, praying for money. I pray and that day it comes in. Now, in order for me to pray for money and it come into my box that day, somebody else had to be moved by God 3 or 4 days earlier, knowing that I would pray and answering my prayer, and it seems like, what a miracle. How could that happen? How could that happen? God is bigger than you. He's not bound by time or space, and He can answer you when you pray. It's a beautiful thing. I want you to expect that God may do something miraculous. And the last thing that will happen is, well, not the last thing, but one. The only other thing I'm going to tell you is that we're going to have a sweeter fellowship together. What's going to happen in our congregation will be a deeper commitment to each other, because we're going to focus our prayers specifically on what God wants to do in our lives and in our congregation, in our relationships together. And if you have estranged relationships in your family or in our church or in your small group or in any other place here, I want you to start praying about it. It's really hard to be mad at someone you're praying for. And if you're mad at somebody, I want to invite you to start praying for them. The best way I can illustrate this is what I've experienced as a pastor of this church in Boulder, Colorado, and my personal relationships with the other pastors of this city, whom I have told you over and over that I consider them some of my best friends. Not only on our own staff, and I feel that about our staff, but of the other senior pastors in town, God has granted us a wonderful situation where I consider the senior pastors of this city my friends. But it began about 8 or 9 years ago when a group of pastors went up into the mountains to pray together for 4 years, the senior pastors of Boulder. There were only 12 of us. Next year there were 18. The next year there were 24. But we prayed together for Boulder. And what ended up happening was, as we prayed together, the whole sense of my church versus your church, or, you know, who's bigger, faster, what church can jump higher and run longer, you know, that all goes out the window. Now, I had lunch this week with Peter Barnes, who's the pastor of First Presbyterian Church, and, you know, we prayed together for some things in both of our lives, and, you know, we have a friendship. Yesterday, I was pumping gas up in Longmont in my car, and I hear this voice says, "Become my beating heart." I look over, and it's Alan Algrim, the pastor of Rocky Mountain. I said, "You pump your own gas?" I thought you were too important to pump your own gas. We had a great time. We talked together for about 25 minutes, pulled over, and, you know, he's a friend. And you know what? That comes from praying. What will happen as we pray together? We will have a sweeter fellowship. Now, I don't want you to think about 100 days of prayer as a gimmick. The real thing behind concentrating on prayer for 100 days is that it will more deeply become a part of our life, and 100 will turn into 365. This is a 24/7 thing for us. But in order for that to happen, much like kingdom assignments got us thinking about community service, 100 days of prayer is going to say, okay, we're going to be people of prayer. Right? Now, for this to happen, we're going to have to overcome some obstacles, because I know, as I look out at you and what I think about myself, I think, how's my prayer life? I have this, oh, it's okay, but I know it could be better. Or at other times, oh, it's just plain awful. Well, my prayer life, I feel like Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane. I keep falling asleep on the job. And there are some obstacles to overcome if we're going to make prayer part of our life together. And these obstacles are the very things that come up against the real nature of prayer. Prayer, in its essence, is communication with God. It is communicating with Him whereby I bring Him my life and I express to Him my need for Him to help me. Now, why don't I express a need to God for Him to help me? It's because I don't really feel like I need God in my life unless I get into a really big jam. But most of the time, if I can manage things, I'll figure out how to take the wins and the losses, the pluses and the minuses, the advances and the retreats. I can figure all that out because I'm doing okay. What is that? That's the first obstacle we've got to overcome. That's our pride. We are not as dependent upon God as we ought to be. We are dependent upon ourselves. And prayer, in its essence, is depending on God to answer what my needs are. I called on the Lord out of my distress, and He heard my prayer. Okay, what we want to do is develop a spirit of our life that is humble. Two, I'll go over these quickly, is we don't believe God wants to hear from us. We lack faith. We doubt. We doubt either that God is able or willing. And we say, well, God may be able to, but I bet He's not that interested in this. He's not willing to. Or He's willing to, but He's not strong enough to, because this is a really big problem. Think about our doubt as to whether God can do that. Another obstacle we have to overcome is one we all relate to, and that's that we're lazy. We're lazy. We have many other things that take our time and energy, and we get lazy spiritually. That's when we think about the guys in the Garden of Gethsemane who fell asleep on the job. Sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. We're lazy. But then there's another one. It's not numbered, but I added another one later in the week, and that's that we're busy. Busyness. Busyness is our enemy's strategy to keep us out of doing what's most important. Too busy to pray. You know, someone wrote a book, Too Busy Not to Pray. Too busy not to pray. That's a great phrase. I am too busy not to pray. I need to pray that my life will have order in a way that glorifies God. Those are the obstacles we're going to try to overcome. Now, let me give you some introductory principles. Very quickly, I'm going to give you six things here, and we're going to fly. I want you to think of prayer as a gift. And if prayer is a gift, what do you say when you get a gift? Thank you. So, if you think of prayer as God saying to you, I give you this awesome privilege of praying to me in heaven, that's why it's always tied in the Bible to thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. In fact, let's read that verse on your outline at the top of the page. It's Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. Prayer is a gift. So if you are having a hard time praying, let me suggest this, that the first effort you make at this 100 days of prayer, only make your praying thank you. Thank you for, and you start making a list somewhere in your notebook, maybe on the back of this page. Make a list of the things you're thankful for and see if your prayer life doesn't extend. See if your seasons of prayer don't get longer because prayer is a gift, so be thankful. Number two, prayer is not only a gift, it is a task. It's a command for us. And so if it's a command, then it needs to be entered into with a bit of diligence. So would it surprise you that the Bible says, that the New Testament says, six times, associated with prayer, devote yourselves to prayer. Six times in the New Testament, be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. And the early church was devoted to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, to fellowship, and to prayer. And when there was a problem in the church and the apostles had to say, you know what, these people need to be fed, but we can't feed them. You know, we need to get some other leaders who can do this task. Because, you know, we're apostles. If we could do it, but if we do it, we won't be able to give ourselves to what's most important. We need to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. They want to be devoted to prayer. Romans chapter 12, you know, devoted to prayer. It's in there. And you know from your own experience that in order to be an effective prayer, it takes diligence. Number three, prayer is spontaneous. So pray in the Spirit. Prayer is spontaneous. What we want to think about prayer is that I could pray in any moment of any day. It would just be sort of the overflow of what's in my heart. And I pray spontaneously, praying in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18 says. That is, that in any moment of the day, I could just whisper a quick prayer. Eric Swanson used to tell the story about praying for a parking space. And driving around saying, Lord, please give me a parking space up close to the store. Oh, never mind, I found one. Okay. We don't want that to happen. And you might feel liberty to pray for a parking space. Pray in any moment. Pray for anything. Not demand. You say, Lord, help me. I had a friend in Moody Bible Institute. His name was Steve Ross. Steve Ross was one of these great, big, huge personalities. He was 6'6". He went to Tennessee and got his pilot's license, was a missionary pilot, and then became a youth pastor in Boca Raton, Florida. Huge personality of a guy. President of the student council when I was there. And he was a guy that would... He just clever, creative guy. He was killed about 2 years ago in a plane accident. Left behind a wife and five kids. Went to be with Christ. I won't ever forget Steve Ross and his request for prayer from the guys that he was friends with. He'd often say, hey, I got to go to this meeting. Shoot some smoke for me. They shoot some smoke for me. Yeah, shoot some smoke up for me. You know where he took it from? He said, let your prayers rise as incense unto God. And he'd just say, shoot some smoke. He's crazy. But, in every moment, a spontaneous prayer, just let your prayers rise as incense unto God. Number four, prayer is not only spontaneous, prayer is learned. It's a learned discipline. And so I'd say pray with your Bible open. Pray with your Bible open. Learn to read and pray because prayer is communication with God. It's not just you come and dump in your truck and say, God, I want all these things. It's God speaking to you. It's you speaking to Him. Pray. Read a passage of Scripture and then say, Lord, help this be true of me. Pray the passage back to God. Number five, prayer is worship. Prayer is worship. So pray in order to be with God. Your ability to have spontaneous prayer with God, to pray without ceasing in any moment, is tied in some measure to your being with God in a concentrated time. And it's worship to say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to pray. I want to praise you. I want to thank you. I want to confess my sins. I don't want anything to be between me and you. And by the way, I have these things I really need help with. Would you help me? That's worship. Prayer is worship. And lastly, prayer is petition. It's asking. So let your request be made known to God. This is the piece we're going to concentrate on for the next 100 days. That we're going to just say, Lord, well, we need this. Or, you know, we're going to learn how to bring our request to Him. And we're going to look at examples in the Bible where God invited us to bring our request to Him. And I pray that what will happen in our congregation will just be an elevated commitment that when we pray, our God delights to hear us and to answer us. Now, in just a moment, we're going to celebrate communion. And there is an incredible connection between praying and communion. Because when Jesus Christ came into the world and offered Himself for us, and He hung on the cross dying, the blood pouring out of His wounds, and He looked into heaven and said, God, why have you forsaken me? I am thirsty. It is finished. And He offered up His Spirit. Do you remember what happened in the temple when Jesus died? The veil in the temple that hid the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, was torn in two from top to bottom. As if to say, through the atoning sacrifice of Christ, heaven opened up and you may come in. Which is why the writer of Hebrews then says, therefore, since we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weakness, let us draw near to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I mean, prayer is God's gift to say, my son died for you, come to me, and I will give to you. So today, when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, know that Jesus died to bring you into the Father's presence. I would just warn you, don't come unprepared. We're going to take a moment of silent prayer together. Prepare your heart to eat this bread. Prepare your heart to drink this cup. Any sins in your life that need to be confessed, you know, be right with Christ before you eat. But when you eat, thank Jesus for opening the way to God. Let's pray silently together.